The world of work is a different place from what it was a few decades ago in many, many ways. And one of those ways is the number of jobs we're likely to hold in our lifetimes. That number has certainly bumped up over time. So we'll work at more places, interview at more places, and hunt for jobs more often. And that can be especially daunting later in life. Lane Community College in Eugene is home to the Successful Aging Institute. SAI and a few partners offer a session tomorrow evening at the Eugene Library on finding a job after 50. Barbara Sussman is the director of the Successful Aging Institute at Lane Community College and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Tell us a bit about the SAI, if you would.
Sure. The mission of SAI is to enrich the lives of mature adults and those who serve them through sustainable, accessible, and collaborative educational programming. We work with about 45 area businesses, nonprofits, governmental organizations to offer cutting-edge educational programming for adults of all ages because it's never too early to start successfully aging.
Right. A lot of ways to define successful aging, I'm thinking, too.
Exactly.
So not to be obtuse, but sometimes it's the best way to ask a question. Why so hard to find a job for people after the age of 50?
Well, we have, of course, 10,000 people turning 65 every day. That's a statistic that's used in the media all the time. And we know that there are a lot of older adults who either need to keep on working. They're still dealing with the after effects of the recession. They haven't saved as much as they had hoped to, or a lot of those savings were culled out by the recession. We're not in jobs where we get pensions anymore. And also, we're bored. I mean, we're retiring or looking at retirement age activities with a lot more energy and a lot more good health, robust good health than we ever were before. Retirement itself is becoming kind of an archaic concept. And as we move forward into the job, either back into the job market or looking forward to maybe doing something different, what we find is that ageism is alive and well. It's, of course, against the law to tell someone that they're not being hired specifically because of their gray hair, but it is not, it is not against the law to say thank you so much and not call someone back for a second interview or, proceed in that kind of way. The Register Guard recently in the business section earlier in May said, though, that one way, and I'm quoting here, one way to help get the economy out of its rut would be to embrace policies that encourage older Americans to stay employed and for employers to appreciate their aging workforce. There's this kind of idea that there's a certain limited number of jobs, but of course that's not the reality. It's not that older workers are clogging up the pipeline. 58, I'm quoting again from this article in the Register Guard on May 22nd, 58% of those ages 50 and over who expect to remain in the workforce plan to switch careers or employers in the future, according to the Working Longer survey by the AP, and to stay competitive, more than a quarter of those surveys recently completed job training or obtained additional education. So that's one of the things that we talk about in this class is different resources and means of support for those older workers who would like some. We don't have to do this alone.
I'm sure it would be hard to ferret out because nobody's about to admit to the reasons why they wouldn't hire older people that freely. But I mean, is it because they cost more? They expect more in salary because they've probably gotten greater increases over the course of a long career?
Well, you know, Jeffrey, I think that's one of the fallacies that when you talk with the folks who come to these classes, we've been offering them, as you mentioned in your very kind intro, we offer these classes in collaboration with good friends of ours at Goodwill Industries and Experience Works, the U.S. Department of Labor program for low-income older adults who want to have some assistance getting back into the workforce. And it's one of the things that our participants, as students, have been telling us over the last 3 years we've been offering is that they are encountering potential employers who every once in a while will say, well, gosh, we'd really love to hire you. You're enthusiastic. You have all these skills. We understand that when you say that you're going to appear at a certain time and we ask you to to come in at a certain time, to be punctual and to get a certain amount of work done and so on. We know that we can trust that you will do that, but we're concerned that we might have to pay you a lot more than, or at the very top of the range. And what they're telling us is that they're so relieved when potential employers tell them that, because then they can say, well, no, gosh, I looked at the range and the range works fine for me. I don't need to be at the top of the range. I'm really excited about learning the skills that I will learn in this new job, or continuing to share my expertise in this area that I've been working in for the last 30 years. And I just want the opportunity to serve. So I think there are just a lot of fallacies, but it's interesting because the more the greater the number of boomers that stay in the job market, the more those fallacies are falling away. So I think it's becoming easier and easier for those who are 50 plus who want to be working to either stay in or to re-enter the job market.
Barbara Sussman is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of the Successful Aging Institute at Layton Community College, one of the partners in a session tomorrow at the Eugene Library about looking for work after age 50. Questions or comments or observations, maybe you have some stories to tell us about your own experience looking for a job after age 50. We would like to hear that on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So you just mentioned a very specific part of the hiring process an employer or potential employer would say, hey, we just don't think that the salary is going to be good enough for you. I've heard similar things from people over the years, though, about, we think you're overqualified for this. We think you'd be bored in this job. I mean, right. If they've made up at least their mind that much, how much can you work to try to convince them otherwise without just turning them off?
That's a great question. I think that doing your work ahead of time is always a really good idea. Being aware of where you want to work, where you think you're going to be a great fit, and anticipating those kinds of questions and being able to very genuinely, sincerely, and persuasively explain to your potential employer that you have a lot of passion for what that particular position is, that you have a lifetime of experience in either that same field or different fields that has shown you that once you, as a mature worker, identify that you want to put your skills and your enthusiasm, your energies in a certain direction, that's, you're pretty sure that that's, where you're going to be going and being successful, and that you'll be forthright if there's something that doesn't seem to be working, that you're very much dedicated to clear communication and problem solving and figuring out how to get to the other side with your employer. It's one of the positive stereotypes about older workers is that we are people who, because I am 58 myself, that we are people who are very, as I mentioned about punctuality, we're very punctual. We do what it is that we're going to say. We're not people who will give you 3 hours notice to say that we're going to leave your employee and go work someplace else. This is a positive stereotype. It doesn't, of course, fit the profile of all mature adult workers, but it does, from the research that I have seen, it does tend to bear out that that older workers as a group are very reliable people in terms of being able to scope out something and to be able to plan ahead and to work with their employers we have a much more sense, I guess you would say, of ingrained loyalty to an employer. And so that is something that that older workers can focus on. And just specifically about why they're excited, if they've done some informational interviewing, they've read about the company or the nonprofit or the governmental agency, they've done their research, they've done some visits, and they just know that this particular position, this particular opening is going to be great for that agency as well as for their own personal growth and development.
So it sounds like step one you're recommending here is to Google the bejesus out of the place you're thinking of working.
Yeah, do some research, talk to some people, talk to folks who work with that organization, not necessarily at the organization, though that is great too. If you can do some informational interviewing at the place that you want to be working, that's great. But also talk to people who are vendors or suppliers or customers, consumers of that agency, and find out, what's it really like? Is it a place, I mean, you're the one who gets to decide where it is that you think you're going to be, you know, where it's going to be the best fit for you. And so is this a place that really feels like it's going to fit your interests and excitements and, you know, your personality and so on? And then bring what you learn, use what you learn in that interview process. There are a lot of resources, Goodwill and Experience Works and the LCC Career Center on main campus. SAI is here in the downtown campus. They have a lot of resources in terms of classes and support and counseling. The LCC Career Center has a weekly job club that people can participate in. You really want to be able to, you know, get your ducks in a row and make sure that you're able to get through that first step, which is, of course, just getting to the interview. That's a huge step, going from submitting a usually online application to being picked. And once you're in front of someone, then you have a much greater chance of impressing them. But there are a lot of resources to be able to help you get to that stage.
Which raises the question, I mean, what do you have to do on a resume about including or not including dates to I mean, do you recommend any particular strategies to not make it look like you're over 50?
That's a really good question, and I have to say that I will defer to some of my colleagues who can talk much more specifically about that in the class tomorrow night, the folks from Goodwill and Experience Works, because I don't personally counsel people about those things. And we don't do that within SAI. That's why we work with these wonderful partners. But it is a really good thing to be very clear with what the organization requires. And if it does not require a date, then there's, of course, no reason to put it in. I remember when I took a class several years ago myself about dealing with age bias in the workforce, the instructor said, you know, you may feel very excited about the fact and very proud of the fact that you have 35 years of experience in this field. The minute you put that on your resume, your potential employer is going to know that you're not probably 35 years old yourself. So you don't really, you know, you can talk about your deep and, you know, your depth and breadth of experience, et cetera, without, you know, you can, 35 years, well, that's great. You could also say with a decade or more of experience, et cetera. And even though you're you know, really proud of the 35, you don't really have to underscore it in that way. But you do need to find out what kinds of requirements the employer has. For a lot of online applications, if you don't fill in a date, they won't let you go, you know, to the next.
Oh, sure. Yeah, required field, that sort of thing.
Exactly, to the next required field.
All right, we're talking to Barbara Sussman, the director of the Successful Aging Institute at Lane Community College, one of several agencies hosting a Finding a Job After 50 session tomorrow night at the Eugene Library. You can join us now at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's John in Grants Pass. Welcome back to The Exchange.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. My little story is that my brother, actually my twin brother David, in the restaurant business for over 30 years, and was really wearing him out. And exactly what your guest said, we're both now 66, so about 3 years ago, he's going, nobody's going to hire me. He was able to get out of it, and he found a part-time job with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and he said it is absolutely perfect for him. He makes enough money to get by, and he doesn't have to plan out and do all this stuff. He just loves to drive, and so that's a suggestion for a lot of people, you know, is that there's ways to move on, because he told me, he says, nobody's going to hire me, you know, and put the time and investment into me. So anyway, you're talking exactly about what my brother went through, and so I want you to comment, please. Thank you.
Thanks for that, John. Appreciate that. So, Barbara, that raises the question whether the gig economy actually offers opportunities that might not have existed years ago for older workers if they do want to work, maybe a couple of part-time jobs.
Absolutely. It's a great, the caller just brought up a really great point. There's a lot of we oftentimes, as older workers, we have more flexibility. We don't have to work full-time. We don't have to have health benefits sometimes. If we're over 65 and we're already set within Medicare, and there are, unfortunately, I believe, in my own personal opinion, that unfortunately there are a lot of jobs that do not offer a lot of benefits anymore, let alone not offering pensions. And so sometimes with us older workers, we can afford to take a job that a younger worker with a developing family, a growing family, cannot afford to take. And the mix and match of opportunities can be great. You can do several different kinds of part-time work. You can do some work out of your home. You can do work on your own. There are, during the recession, there was a huge proliferation of micro-businesses, of one, two, three, four, five-person businesses. They just sprouted up like crazy, and a large number of those businesses were run by people who were age 50-plus. And had some money in a bank, knew a whole bunch of knew what they needed to know about creating a really successful and strategic business plan. They had done so for other, you know, for their employers, and they turned that knowledge into their own work and have moved forward. One of the things I wanted to mention is that an opportunity that we have through SAI, which is the personal care aide class. We offer a class almost every term. We don't offer it in the summer, but we'll be offering again in the fall for those with a lifetime of caregiving experience who would like, as your caller said, to like to have some flexibility in their lives and still be able to utilize that that caregiving and be able to be paid for it. So people go through a 40-hour class. It's a lot less intensive than the classes for certified nursing assistant or LPNs or RNs, but it also can be a stepping stone to those to that kind of education. And we offer it here at LCC in support of with the support of 16 area employers who offer then special hiring promotions to those who go through the class, including retroactive scholarships.
LCC is Lane Community College. SAI is the Successful Aging Institute. Barbara Sussman is the director of that. And SAI is going to partner with the Eugene Library for a session tomorrow evening called Finding a Job After 50 in partnership with WorkSource Lane, Goodwill Industries, and Experience Works. That'll be at 5:30 at the Eugene Library tomorrow night. Barbara Sussman, thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, take care.